Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very, very special Vinnie Eastwood show. It's a very special day today because, unlike many of the times where we have doctors on the show, we've got people who actually save lives as opposed to repenting for ending so many of them in a eugenics operation type fashion called the American medical industry. Run by a mafioso-type group of characters that engage in untold levels of scumbaggery, including extortion, standovers, manufacturing evidence, breaking into doctors' offices, revoking medical licenses for no freaking good reason, and a whole myriad and cast of characters that includes more conspiracies than you could see in any Hollywood movie, who incidentally get their ideas from the real conspiracies. And my very special guest today is the entire team, leadership team of the remarkable Baczynski Clinic, which has actually received such acclaim, guys, I've got to tell you this, that not less than three times walking around New Zealand in the circles that I operate in that don't engage in conspiracy theories, the Baczynski Clinic has come up. And conversation. You have permeated the entire globe with what you've done, managing to shrink tumors. So, Dr. Gregory Baczynski, I'd like to welcome you to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thank you so much, Vinnie.
Hi.
Please, we've got a whole myriad of people here. So how about you just introduce yourself one by one with your titles, please, so that the audience can get to grips with the kind of host variation we've got here.
I'm Dr. Stan Baczynski, and I am the director of the clinic. And next to me is my son, Greg Baczynski.
I'm the vice president of the clinic, and I also help out with seeing many of the patients here.
And I'm Zod Rastigar. I'm the director of business development, domestic and international. I'm also the director of our admissions department, as well as the company spokesperson.
And we had Deborah and, well, never mind.
Hi, Benny. I'm Renee Trimble. I'm the director of public relations here.
And, Benny, I'm Deborah Stockton, marketing design associate here.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind we've got the whole team here for pretty much 2 hours. However, the Baczynskis, unfortunately, they're the busiest of the bunch, and we'll only be able to have the first 40 minutes with them. So I'd like you guys to take it away and just kind of preface for those of the audience who don't know just who you are and what all this kind of cancer cure type debacle has been about.
Well, Vinny, first of all, let me start by thanking you guys and give a big, warm global hello to all your listeners out there. I thought this was going to be video, so I actually shaved for the event. I'm a little disappointed it's not, so I shaved for nothing. But
I didn't.
Well, listen, so you summarized it best, okay? You accurately portrayed what's going on here. We are a cancer treatment center here in Houston, Texas, USA, and we see some of the deadliest types of cancers around and have had some remarkable successes with them. We've opened up our doors to the clinic in 1977, in May of 1977, with the basis of Dr. Baczynski's baby, which is these anti-neoplastins that are so famous. And we've treated patients with terminal cases, like I mentioned, and had nothing but remarkable successes with many of these cases, some of them coming to us as little children. And now, fast forward the clock 20 years later, they have children and families of their own. One patient in particular was a Hilton executive with a deadly brain tumor. She came to us, and a wonderful success story. She's now married and has a child and another one on the way. Chose for Dr. Brzezinski to be her at the wedding, and I'm happy to report that he was one of the first dances to her song. So it was a very touching moment for all. But this is the type of stuff we're doing here. And unfortunately, you know, with this type of breakthroughs comes some type of firewalls, right? You can't seem to really get a break when it comes to stuff like this. So constantly we're up against the wall with criticism from, you know, oncologists that don't seem to understand or want to go to the next level in cutting-edge therapies for cancer, or some type of regulatory agency who's trying to give us minor headaches here and there. The big battle has been fought. The big battle has been won. And that's all available to you at the Brzezinski movie documentary that most of your viewers have seen. So the big battle has been won. And now it's a matter of dealing with these little headaches, such as the local state agencies, the Texas Medical Board, who seem to still want to kind of nip at our heels here and give us a little bit more of a hard time than we would prefer. So in summary, I can say that we are, like I said, a standing clinic here with an expansion into a research center, expansion into a pharmaceutical plant, expansion into the approval process of a drug, antineoplastins, as well as a treatment center for a new way of treating cancer patients called personalized targeted therapy. Personalized targeted therapy, I want your readers to write that term down. Personalized medicine, individualized medicine, and maybe in parentheses they can put my name down and say you heard it from me first. Because it's going to be the wave of the future in all areas of health, not just cancer, but in all areas. And I have countless citations, even from a very popular circulation here in the USA called Time Magazine, where they quote that in 10 years from now, every cancer patient is going to want to get a genomic analysis done of their cancer and then a treatment plan that's reflective of that. Well, that's something that you don't have to wait 10 years from now. You can have done right here, right now. We've been moving this direction for quite some time.
Well, actually, we're not even been moving this direction for quite some time. We've been past this point for quite some time. And the only reason why we still have to struggle with getting cancer cures out is because whenever somebody comes up with one, it gets suppressed. It's really quite simple. There's a good book called Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries by Jonathan Eisen. You can get it at Amazon.com, I think. And he documents, I think, nearly a dozen or so people have come up with a cure for cancer and just had all sorts of terrible things happen to them, you know. And in the modern age, you'd figure that this kind of, almost prohibition-era tactic is being employed here, don't you think? What is the, do you feel as a doctor that there's some kind of challenge to the entire medical field that has suddenly come up in your mind here, that maybe the whole field itself has something wrong with it inherently?
Well, certainly there are some bright and brave oncologists who see that the change is inevitable. We are now 160 years from the times the current diagnosis of cancer has been introduced, which means looking under microscope on pathology slides and deciding what kind of cancer the patient has. By the way, it was introduced in today's Poland territory, which at that time was the Kingdom of Prussia, by the doctor whose name was Rudolf Virchow, a famous German doctor who established the basis of pathology diagnosis of cancer. And since then, they have been small steps, just improving the microscope, improving the glasses the observers wore, well, introducing new type of reagents, but the principle remains the same. try to categorize the cancers into about 160 different types and use the principles which were embraced by the chairman Mao. Everybody is the same, and everybody should receive the same treatment. Certainly, these principles did not work, as we know, and in People's Republic of China, nobody believes in them anymore. Okay. Well, likewise.
Well, you know, there's a concept here that there's no such thing as a group. You know, it's because it's all an abstraction, just like there's no such thing as a forest. I mean, because you can't touch a forest, can you? You can only touch a tree. Just like you can't touch a group of people, you can only touch a person, you know, an individual. And what this kind of, like you said, Maoist medical dogma is perpetuating is basically just a long-term eugenics policy where everybody's going to suffer from illness inherently and will conveniently, though, have a whole lot of drugs that don't do anything. In fact, will probably do you more harm than good, for which they can prescribe you more drugs in an endless cycle. Until it comes down to the point where you're 67 years of age, you know, you could be walking around or whatever, but no, you're stuck in a wheelchair, you're slumped to the side and you're drooling, and you can't do anything because you're so whacked out on something like 19 different pills in a day for your depression, your glaucoma, your arthritis, and your rigor mortis, and goodness knows what else. It's unbelievable how much disease is manufactured and maintained and, dare I say it, nurtured.
No doubt about it. You see, by introducing the principle that every patient, every cancer patient is pretty much the same, and categorizing the cancer in a small number of diagnoses based on today's obscure principle, which is how the cell looks under the microscope, this was bonanza for the pharmaceutical industry because, obviously, the doctors were brainwashed. They were forced to use identical treatment for millions of people. And, obviously, very few of these patients recovered. I'm talking about advanced cancer. And majority of them suffered bad adverse reactions. So now we know that this is a wrong principle because cancer is different for practically every patient. You have to find out what is causing cancer. Cancer is caused by a group of genes, by abnormal genes, and these genes are different for practically every patient. You have to analyze what is causing the cancer, which genes are causing cancer in your patient, and use the medications which will treat bad genes rather than the name of cancer. Then you have a chance to win. And that's where our treatment is coming up, because we introduce the treatment which works on approximately 100 different genes which are causing cancer. For some patients, that's perfectly all right, and you can get rid of cancer by using our medications alone. For some others, you have to use them in combination with the other medications which are called gene-targeted therapies.
Let me get this straight. Everybody has a particular type of DNA, gene, certain types of cancers that they would get, and they all respond in particular ways if you influence them properly. And what you've discovered here is a substance that can be manipulated in a range of different ways to treat many, many different forms of cancer among many patients, right?
You're correct. What I discovered is a certain system of molecular switches which exists in our body, in healthy people. These molecular switches, they turn off the genes which are causing cancer. It's like turning off the electricity at the switchboard and the machinery will stop. We are talking about the machinery which is causing malignant cells to multiply endlessly and produce poor merchandise, billions of useless cancer cells, which ultimately will kill the patient. Okay, well, we turn off the switches and the machinery stop. That's what we are talking about. And what I discovered are the switches which turn off approximately 100 the most important genes which are involved in cancer. For many patients, that's enough, okay? But for some others, it's not enough because they may have 110 genes which are out of the scope on which we work. For such patients, we need to introduce new molecular switches, which we know they exist, or use currently available medications which work on the genes. They usually work on 1, 2, 5 different genes and use them in combination. So then It's like turning off the electricity. The machinery which produces cancer stops, malignant cells will die, and the patient will live normal life. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so there's no real reason for anybody to be afraid. Are there side effects to these? Is it a medication? Is it a natural therapy? I mean, what is the substance that we're talking about?
Well, certainly you can call this natural therapy because everybody has these medications in his or her body, okay? But patients who have cancer, they don't have enough of this. You can trace these chemicals only to some natural ingredients. You can find them in various plants, you can find them with certain nutrients, but for the purpose of using them as medication, we have to reproduce them synthetically. That's the requirement of the government, and that's what we do. Adverse reactions are minimal. Usually patients tolerate the treatment well, and those who recover, they tend to recover completely. We have now patients who are well without any sign of cancer for over 10 years, for over 20 years, and when they came to us, they were diagnosed as hopeless. So at least for some patients, we can get rid of the cancer for good, but not yet for everybody, because this is such a complex problem. But we are getting there step by step.
Well, you know, that's what I think what discovery is all about, is getting to your destination step by step. Because I'm sure at this point, let's say, for example, when you very first discovered this, the percentage of patients walking through your door, how many of them could you just give them the general substance and they'd be cured and on their way kind of thing, or versus today? Probably a lot more discovery has been made. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Dr. Buzinski and the team at the Buzinski Clinic. And we'll be right back after the break on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Marching forth into the darkness, the dark halls of the FDA, there lurks a pharmaceutical company rep who will approve a very dangerous drug pretty much every day and experiment on the public in phase 3 trial testing. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The diabetes of bracelet of talk radio. We're the ones that warn you to not pump something into your veins so that you might have anaphylactic shock and die. South of the border in Mexico, the Vinnie Eastwood Show is known as El Diabeto. And welcome back to my very special guest, the team at the Buzinski Clinic. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I hope you're enjoying it. Because One thing that I really wanted to get into now is just the rigmarole that you've experienced as a result of your discoveries.
Well, suddenly, you see, like with any discovery, initially there's a period of enthusiasm when I presented my discovery first time. This was exactly in the year 1976, when President Nixon promised that the war on cancer will be won. This was the year I presented my discovery to the public, of almost 20,000 medical doctors and researchers, grouped at one of the largest medical congresses in the world. It immediately caught attention, and you could read about it all over the world. Associated Press carried this to the entire globe. I was congratulated. I received additional funding. It looks like at least for the next 6 months, everything looks bright. But then, of course, typical attack began and everything has been suppressed. And since then, I have been suppressed, obviously, and the people who are working with me, and I was trying to survive, and then, of course, at the same time, continue the research and continue to save a life of horribly sick people. Okay, it wasn't easy, but that's what I experienced.
Well, I kind of I see through that to a certain extent. You know, in a war, victory means that your people die just to kill other people. And so how can a war on cancer ever be won?
That's a difficulty to really understand it. And certainly the war on cancer, which was started by President Nixon, is now going on into the next 40 years. It was 40 years anniversary, and now it's going on to the next 40 years. It looks like the establishment is very comfortable in carrying this forever, for another 40 years. As a matter of fact, that's the editorials in some of the cancer journals, in oncology journals, when the editors are asking, well, let's make plans for another 40 years of war on cancer. You see, they would like to carry this for another 40 years when really, in fact, you can save thousands of human lives even today if you use the approach which we are using, okay? And this is available. Many doctors can do it. I am not keeping this secret. I am going all over the world bringing this message to numerous doctors. It can be done, and with the help of people like you, with the help of news media, it can be done sooner than you expect. So that's what you like to do. You like to win the war on cancer, and the soldiers will be ordinary people. The soldiers in the war will be those who have cancer and those who understand that they can win with cancer, okay? So that's how this war can be found. At this moment, it is a political issue. And obviously, it can be won through people action. And that's what I think we are looking for. Almost a million of people look at our documentary, and they understand, and they give us tremendous support. And that's something which can help to bring the victory over cancer closer.
Now, how can the listeners directly support you? Do you have a website that they can visit where they can perhaps make donations or volunteer to help campaign for you? Do you have any kind of apparatus like that, or are you on Facebook, social networking?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a lot of ways that we can have some help. First of all, let me give you our website, www.brzezinskiclinic.com. That's B like boy, U R, Z like zebra, Y, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, KIclinic.com, all one word. Or alternatively, you can go to www.cancermed.com. That's M like Mary, E, D like David, cancermed.com. Lots of information is there. Lots of contact information in case you want to personally send us an email is there available for you. On that site, there's also a donations page. We've had a lot of people who've seen this video, who've seen this movie, heard the tale, and have been outraged, absolutely outraged, and want to do whatever is possible to help us.
Are people allowed to download that movie and put it onto DVD and hand them out on street corners?
No, it's handled. The movie is done separate of us by a gentleman named Eric Morello. He has his own website where you can contact him, and that's BrzezinskiMovie.com. BrzezinskiMovie.com. And you can contact him. He's very, very friendly and very much passionate about this movement, so he'll be very much helpful for you in case you want to have a showing. He can help guide you for that, and I encourage that. I encourage people that, you know, quite literally, you can have it at your own house. You can have it in your local neighborhood. Talk to a theater and say, hey, listen, there's an incredible documentary that will blow you out of the water in terms of what's being done to stifle the advancements of cancer.
Now, let's get into that specifically. What has been done to you?
With regards to the...
To stifling your discovery.
Well, I mean, as you see in the documentary, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I will. In the documentary, it shows how Dr. Brzezinski, you know, he hasn't had the peachy keen road you would think when someone is told that, hey, I have cancer and you're able to essentially cure them or you know, slow down the disease or even absolutely reverse it, which all three are considered very magnificent feats in the world of oncology. But you would think that you would be thrown money and all sorts of research opportunities and big warm hugs and kisses, but not so much. It was instead met with a lot of grief from the medical establishment as well as from the legal establishment. It started with the Texas State Medical Board. So they started in a state level to harass Dr. Brzezinski. They did this in the beginning through his patients. They went to his former patients and quite literally solicited to them to say, hey, is there anything that you don't like about this doctor? Would you like to report something on this doctor? Would you like to make a bad comment about this doctor? Things of that nature. And that's how we actually found out about it. Dr. Brzezinski was notified by some of his patients that, hey, listen, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Texas State Medical Board is quite literally asking us if there's a problem with you that we could report to them. And so we were surprised. We were very shocked to hear about this. So it started there. And Dr. Brzezinski went in front of the board, you know, had to leave his practice in Houston, travel all the way to Austin, you know, lose time, lose day, hire attorneys, spend a lot of money, spend a lot of valuable time, leave these poor patients alone, all just to handle a bunch of mediocre, at best, issues, okay? And so, again, this seemed kind of strange, but the bigger picture here was the FDA. The FDA was motivating the Texas State Medical Board to basically take these measures to annoy us, to bring us into court, to try to capture us on something that we were doing everything in a compliance with. And then finally, the FDA pulled out their own big guns. And so from a federal level, they got involved and they essentially, there was a rule in Texas. Okay, there was a law in Texas where if you were the discoverer of, you know, a certain medication, and you wanted to treat your patients in Texas within Texas state line, you could. Well, what would happen is a lot of patients would come to us from East Coast to West Coast, right? You were told you were going to die by your hometown physician. Well, before you start packing up your bags and filling out your forms to say goodbye to everybody, why don't you stop by in Houston, Texas, meet this Polish guy. His name's Brzezinski. He's got a small operation, but man, I tell you something, he might be able to just save your life. Enough of this started to travel around where patients were starting to visit us here in Houston. We're having wonderful success. They were told they weren't going to live 6 weeks. Well, they went back to their hometown oncologist 6 months later and said, hey, doc, you remember me? I should be a ghost by now, right? You told me I was going to die. You scared the Jesus out of me. So I want you to tell me what you did wrong. Why did you not refer me to this doctor in Houston, Texas, and his discovery of these antineoplastins? Because here I am alive and well today, and you told me I was going to die. Enough of this started to go around where these doctors started to talk to one another and saying, hey, who's this Brzezinski guy? You know what? Where is he from? What's he doing? And what's this antineoplastin stuff? It's not even approved on the FDA list. Well, it didn't need to be. Oh, he found this loophole in Texas, did he? I see. Well, let's go ahead and try to put a lobbying effort in place to abolish this loophole. They were successful. Once they abolished this loophole and this law disappeared, Dr. Brzezinski, quite literally, in the eyes of the law, became a drug dealer overnight. Every one of his patients came with a charge of jail time sentence. Every one of his patients came with a fine, adding up to about $18.5 million in fines, nearly 300 years in jail. Remind you, this sentence wasn't given down to a man for a complex sex trade operation or anything of that nature. It was instead given to a man who's simply searching to help the world provide a cure for cancer. Okay?
So what a devilishly evil individual.
What is he thinking? Nerve.
Like, dude.
No good deed goes unpunished.
The nerve of Dr. Brzezinski for trying to abolish the number two killer in America. But yes, that is it. That's the nuts and soups of it. And of course, he went through these horrible time of his life, which is quite literally going to the courthouse every day and, you know, crossing your fingers and toes that you're not going to be thrown into jail for about three life sentences, all for your work in cancer. And at the same time, parallel to this, you have patients who are petitioning, begging, pleading, going in front of congressional hearing after congressional hearing. All of this is there for you to see in the documentary, by the way. These emotional testimonies by parents of these patients who said quite literally, if you throw this doctor in jail, the drug is not available for my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my family member. They will die. They were told they were going to die. He is absolutely the last hope. Don't do this. Begging, pleading, showing petitions and signatures, doing all this. And again, all this is there. It's so emotional. It's so emotional when you see the look of distress and desperation in the eyes of a mother crying and pleading in front of a legislative board not to pull the plug on their son because he will undoubtedly die without this medicine. Undoubtedly die without this medicine. So this was the way, you know, we built it up until that point. And funny enough, it was actually a quote from the FDA that the efficacy of the drug was not in question. Let me restate that for everyone in case you didn't hear it. All of this jail time potential, all of this fines, all of these poor families and future patients, the efficacy of the drug was not in question. That's not what was important. It was about him and what team he was on and what, you know, did he follow all the rules? Did he dot his I here? Did he cross his T there? The efficacy was never in question. They didn't care if 20,000 patients marched up to Capitol Hill with cures and whatnot. And that's the outrageous, outlandish nature of this whole thing. Is that not crazy to you? Is that not crazy to everybody? That, listen, there's a guy who might have a cure, and we're not even looking at that part of the equation?
Oh, no, no, no. It sounds perfectly reasonable. But, of course, I know the mind of a psychopath, so.
Well, there you go. There you go. So the idea of having these patients provide their own personal testimonies inside the court for the jury to hear was banned. That was stricken. You did not get to do that. So what they did instead was protest outside the courthouse, protest outside Washington, D.C., everywhere they could, just, you know, to get this doctor out of the hairpins he was in. Well,
did they kettle everybody into little free speech zones?
Yeah, well, they did. They were very ingenious. They creatively put themselves in areas where they knew the jury would have to somehow, some way pass. They knew that the people involved in the case would somehow see. So they were really, really smart, bright patients, I have to say. And then came the judgment day, and everything was dropped. Every single charge was dropped. Every single fine was dropped. Now, this did cost taxpayers quite a hefty bit.
Indeedy do. Trying to, make sure that people don't release a cure for cancer to the public knowledge, I think it's worth the investment. Because conveniently enough, all the lobbyists have made sure that all the pharmaceutical companies will get all the money as a result. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
FDA's theme song. Coming at you live from the Medical Mafia Chateau on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
How many O's can I fit into a sentence? Never mind. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And my very special guests, the whole lot of them from the Baczynski Clinic in Texas. And fortunately, it's getting a little bit hot around the world these days because lots of public attention is now being focused, in my opinion, where it ought to be, about the hidden links behind people. And, well, in fact, if off, they're not even hidden. They're right out there in the open. Anybody with 2 hours to watch a documentary about any subject can wind up learning 10 times, maybe even 100 times, what they're already aware of. And I can assure you that no matter how much you learn, it's always worse than you could possibly comprehend. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I like that intro theme you did, and I've actually had people refer to the FDA as the Star Spangled Mafia, so it was quite appropriate.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there's a whole issue of labeling that we've got in this country. You know, everybody wants to label everybody else. And in my opinion, a lot of labels just don't seem to fit because, they're based on absolutely no evidence. Whereas if you were to, in fact, refer to all of these big officialdom-type scumbaggery characters as criminals, as mafia, as eugenicists, as murderers, thieves, liars, and all number of a myriad of adjectives and personal pronouns that could describe such a character in somewhat of a comic and or horrific fashion, all would probably be accurate in at least 5 to 10, 20, 50% of cases. Who knows? You just have no idea how deep the corrupt circles inside administrations really go until they come knocking at your door and start looking at you like, you're trying to save lives over here, buddy. Well, excuse me. I'm a murdering psychopath, and I've got copious quantities of power and men with guns and also people with fake courts and fake wigs and stuff that can talk over you and tell you that we're going to throw you in private prisons for ages, which will pay those private prison owners for ages, forever, using your tax dollars to keep you in prison. And even after you're dead, we'll make sure that your corpse lives out the remainder of the sentence, manacled to a wall, on display as a reminder of what happens when you try to cure cancer.
Well, just
don't
in case
mess with us.
Just in case he's resurrected, they have to cover all bases. Very diligent of them.
Well, yeah, there's a guy named Dr. Bill Deagle, and he claims that he's on what he calls the government's double blacklist, which means if he could be killed twice, they would, which means not only killing them in the physical existence, but trying to kill his spirit as well, you know. And I don't have any idea the ramifications of that. I just like to focus right here in reality because we've got guests here on air that can freaking cure cancer. So there's an opportunity here, I think. Now, is there any other types of things that you really want people to be aware of? Things that perhaps haven't been said in the documentary that you think maybe were left on the cutting room floor?
Well, you see, the main battle occurred some time ago. Obviously, this was 14 years ago when we were in court and we won. Since then, we have working relation with the FDA. We are able to make great progress in our clinical trials. We completed 11 phase 2 clinical trials here in U.S. For the worst type of cancer you can get, various types of incurable brain tumors, and we proved that this treatment can get rid of such brain tumors in many patients and provide them with normal quality of life. They will receive the treatment, they will get rid of the tumors, then they will live normal life, not just for 1 year, but for 10 years, for even over 20 years, and forget about the time when they had the tumors. So we proved the point. We proved that this treatment really should be available to every doctor and every patient who needs it. In addition, our Japanese colleagues conducted very important clinical trials in advanced colon cancer, which spread to the liver and proved that they can double the survival. We are not talking about the survival just for 1 month. We are talking about over 5 years survival in advanced colon cancer, which, again, is consistent with the cure. So So it's not a joke. It's a serious treatment which can help many, many people all over the world. In the meantime, we perfected gene testing for every patient. We are now running genetic analysis across the entire genome to identify which genes are causing cancer in every patient and to select the best possible treatment, which means the treatment with one medication from antineoplastin group plus the other medication which now are available which work on the genes. This can help a great number of patients. We are not really keeping this to ourselves. I am going all over the world, probably to a dozen of different congresses and talking to the audience of thousands of doctors, specialists in the field, to share with them that this is possible to do it. It's possible to do it now and to help many patients. So surprisingly, this triggered again attack from Texas Medical Board. Then they after asked for using such combination treatment, which makes perfect sense, which works on the genes, and now they're again after us. So we're preparing for the next show in court, which is supposed to happen in January next year. And in this area, we may need the support of the listeners. We may need to ask them to write the letters, perhaps the best types of letters will be to the governor of the state of Texas, who is supervising Texas Medical Board, to really stop this nonsense. We are saving lives of numerous patients. We are giving the ideas, pioneering ideas to the other doctors, how they can effectively treat cancers. We should be awarded for that, but not harassed. But such harassment still continues by uneducated people who are representing Texas Medical Board. And this should stop. It's not a way to slow down the access to new treatment for cancer which can help thousands of patients.
Yeah, I suppose it's expansion that's really required here. But I'm sorry, Gregory, go ahead.
It's Azad here.
Sorry.
What I was going to say is I want to reiterate that fact that Dr. Brzezinski brought up. Okay, so let's take it from the top. What is shown in the documentary is Dr. Brzezinski's long history with his fight to get this drug approved, antineoplastins, okay? You'll see all sorts of documentation, footages during those hard eras, everything compiled together, and at the same time how they tried and attempted to steal his patents. I mean, the whole shabam is there. Now, outside that movie, your question was, is there anything outside of that film that should be explained? And the answer is yes. Now, antineoplastins is one aspect of our clinic. If you were to come to, God forbid any one of you or your viewers, or I mean listeners, have cancer, if you wanted to come down to Houston to get treatment for cancer, you would have to qualify in order to get the antineoplastins. Let me make that perfectly clear. We would love to give antineoplastins as an option to everybody. Straight from the minute you find out you have the disease, you come down, we would love to do this. But again, under governmental guidelines, you know, he got everything wiped away in terms of court stuff. But they said, from now on, you have to only use this stuff in clinical trials with very strict inclusion and exclusion criteria. So,
yeah, that the same thing happens in Australia. It's very difficult to get your own drugs manufactured in Australia, which is why they have all the manufacturing plants in New Zealand, where our laws are much less strict.
Right. So it's not just manufacturing; it's administering. So let's, God forbid, John, who's listening in, has cancer, and he says, "Oh, let me write this name down. I'm going to get on a plane, and I'm traveling to Houston, and I want this antineoplastin therapy. I saw the documentary; it seems so promising." You'll get here, and we have to say you have to qualify to get it in a specific protocol that we have established. Well, he doesn't meet that protocol. Let's just say he can't qualify. Well, the story doesn't end there for him. He doesn't need to be completely distraught, because what would happen is that he would roll over into our what's called personalized targeted therapy program. Let me repeat that. Personalized targeted therapy program. Every one of those words means something very important in terms of the treatment plan. Every patient here, like Vinny, you know, I did this once on a show with TV, but let's see how it works on the radio. Lift up for
me. We'll probably have to save that for after the break. I'm going to go about the a minute left here until we progress on with the next hour. But I say really hold that thought, because what you've really said here, as far as I'm concerned, is what happens when you've got past one hurdle, you find another one, and probably another one, and another one. And it's very interesting. Is there an end to these hurdles without an end to the whole system itself? You know, that's ponder that for a moment, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests from the Brzezinski Clinic will be right back.
Log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded station in the belly of the vulture. Wash your back. There's no civilians, women, children. Frontline, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent. Pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestack. Airway bandwidth. Disinformation to fed. Check the labels. Delete the virus. Alert the masses.
Solidarity, baby. United we stand. You know, I reckon is that you have a responsibility to stand up for people who stand up for you, even if you know they haven't directly been in contact with you or whatever. If they're simply standing up for something that's true, something that's just, something that's good, it is therefore a good person's responsibility to back them up, particularly when they're under attack. Otherwise, you void your fabulous little tag of I'm a good person, and instead you replace it with a big L on your forehead. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest from the Brzezinski Clinic, and unfortunately I had to rudely interrupt them previously before the break because I had a story for us, and I'd urge you to continue, mate.
All right. So as I said, I did this once on TV. I don't know how well it'll translate on radio, but let's try. So, Vinny, for me, lift up your finger.
Yeah.
Okay, so I also have my finger lifted, my index finger, that is. And if this finger represented colon cancer, okay, and let's say millions of your listeners lifted up their finger while we're doing this exercise, if this represented colon cancer, okay, what would be the single identifying feature that is different about all of our colon cancer? Now, don't go for the low-hanging fruit and tell me I've got short, fat fingers and or anything like that that makes it different. But what is the single identifying feature that makes all of our colon cancers unique?
Fingerprints.
Bingo. Bingo. So, Vinny, congratulations. You've walked into the future of the treatment of cancer. What we want to do is find the genetic fingerprint of each and every single one of our cancer patients. So if we have a room full of 100 colon cancer patients, it's not that, oh, they have colon cancer, stage this, metastasized there, that we're basing the treatment solely on. While that is valuable and incredible information, but that is not the whole picture here. The whole picture here involves very accurately trying to describe the fingerprint that's unique for that person. The genetic fingerprint of their cancer. Every one of our cancers, God forbid we ever get it, every one of the cancers we know of has its own genetic fingerprint or genetic signature. We want to first identify that. We do that through means of blood work. We do that through means of pathology specimen analysis, where we analyze the entire cancer's genome. Now, once we get that information, once we get that very valuable and critical information, we can then decide what drugs might be beneficial to that patient, what drugs may show no benefit to that patient. If I was to walk into a room with a gun, with the room dark, it would be what the cancer treatment right now is like. Walking into this room now, I turn on the lights, and I'm much more selective of my targets.
Well, I'd probably say more like cancer today is walking into a dark room with a grenade that has no pin in it.
Exactly. That's a good analogy as well. It's a good analogy as well. So the thing is, if you don't qualify for antineoplastins, please do not become distressed, because we can still treat you right here in the Brzezinski Clinic with what's being hailed as the future of cancer treatment. That is, identifying the cancerous genome involved in that patient's cancer, and when you get those results, you can then tell that, yes, this gene is involved in this particular cancer. That means we can use this gene-targeted drug or that gene-targeted drug, and this gene is also involved, and this gene's also involved, and now you create what's called combination-targeted therapy, okay? That's the way we're approaching cancer. Now, let me take a side note here. Time Magazine, again, one of the leaders in this field of cancer research and work. He's a program director of the, I want to say it's the Cancer Genome Atlas Project, where they're trying to do this exact thing for all cancers across the board. He says, and I quote, and I paraphrase, I should say, that in the next 10 years, every cancer patient is going to want and demand an analysis of their cancerous genome, and then a treatment will be created based on that information, matching the right patient with the right patient at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. As opposed to walking into a restaurant, not with a grenade, of course, but a improvised explosive vest that was made out of radioactive iodine cancer treatment drugs.
Exactly. So this is, I mean, it's just quite literal. Look, you don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be a PhD. You don't need to be an, it's the most logical approach you can find out there. And, you know, we've had people, you know, very well revered physicians. I mean, Dr. Oz, for instance, he's quite the popular name. He's quoted as America's favorite doctor. Dr. Brzezinski was on the Dr. Oz show. Dr. Oz understood this approach completely, and his burning question was, well, why are not all doctors working in this approach in the field of oncology? It baffles even him.
Well, and the answer is very simple, because they're afraid to do it, because the system is manufacturing oncologists who are robots. They were brainwashed, and they were told, don't you dare think about out of the box. Use only the treatment which is in the scriptures and just the same treatment for everybody. Forget about anything else. Forget about innovation, because if you do, you'll be punished. You received, like in Singapore, you received 10 lashes, okay, as a punishment, okay? And they're afraid, except for a few brave souls who like to do it, okay? And that's what is the state of art today. And you see, medical benefit is one thing, but can you imagine what happens if the government, which is paying for the treatment of cancer, will select medications properly, rather than wasting medications, knowing that medicine will work only, for instance, for 10% of patients, and they will use the same medicine for everybody. For the benefit of a pharmaceutical company, they will select the patients. They will give the medication which is good just for this 10%. Can you imagine what kind of savings the government will have, and what kind of benefit they can provide for the people? This can save the medical care, which is now sinking all over the world, not only in the United States, but in Europe, in Canada, everywhere, because there's such a tremendous waste of resources to benefit big pharmaceutical companies which can make billions of dollars, because every doctor was brainwashed to prescribe the same medicine for everybody, whether it's good or bad, okay?
But of course, this
is touching every aspect of medical care, not only effectiveness of the treatment, but also economy of medical treatment.
Yeah. And there's so many tie-ins with all these it's kind of like medical education is sort of modular as far as I know. Like there's a whole bunch of rules, regulations, much stuff that you have to memorize, mostly in Latin. Incidentally, that was how people kept control over everybody, with the Bibles only printed in Latin until later on. But it's basically cult indoctrination, not medical education. It's competitive rather than collaborative. It is doctrine rather than creative. And I believe that anybody who sticks their head out and well, basically, you stand a lot to lose. This is why few people do it. Few people have the true grit, as it were, to persist regardless. It's a very specified individual, kind of like Nikola Tesla was, and certain other, some might call obsessive, others might call brilliant people who create new ways of doing things, new forms of perception, new forms of how a society can even function, something that changes the very bedrock amongst the public's perception. Those people are so freaking dangerous to the establishment that it's funny. The establishment will very much put itself openly in the position of the bad guy before the public, openly, with no shame whatsoever. And in my opinion, the best way to expose a fascist is to make them act like it.
That's right. So you know, that's the approach here. So what you might not pick up on that film, because that film is dedicated to Dr. Brzezinski's discovery and his fight to keep that discovery, is that if you don't qualify for this clinical trial of antineoplastin, you would roll right over to our personalized targeted therapy program. Step one, identification of the different genes that might be causing your cancer. Step two, figuring out what gene-targeted drugs might be appropriate. And step three, using them in a very unique and selective combination in order to provide a synergistic effect. Now, that third step that I described, the combination of these gene-targeted drugs. Mind you, this stuff is all FDA approved, by the way, for the record. These drugs we're using are not, you know, voodoo drugs that are still being tested. No, these are FDA-approved drugs that are being pushed out by Johnson & Johnson, all the big guys, and they're on the market today. And it's this new world called targeted therapy drugs, okay? And so that third part that I mentioned, that using them in a combination is what seems to be getting us in hot water today. This idea of combining these therapies, combining these drugs, because you have to understand. So Johnson & Johnson will spend what's right now about $1.9 billion to get a drug approved. They'll spend that much money and they'll want the label on that drug to say, let's say, breast cancer. So now you know that this drug is approved as a targeted therapy for treating breast cancer. Now, Dr. Brzezinski and the medical team here, they might provide this in combination with a patient who has prostate cancer. You might scratch your head and wonder why. Well, we're not so concerned about the label in the sense of what it was approved for. We might find it very important to know the mechanism of that drug. The mechanism of that drug matches the mechanism involved in that prostate cancer patient. The mechanism involved matches that patient, regardless of the fact that it was approved for breast cancer. It matches. It matches. So if you, God forbid, had prostate cancer, would you, if I could show you that there's a match in terms of mechanism, that your cancer is being made possible by this particular gene pathway, and then I say, here's a drug that blocks that gene pathway, would you say, I want that drug?
Probably.
If I said the drug has the approval of breast cancer on the label, but I can show you that it blocks that pathway, would you still want that drug regardless?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That's the nuts and bolts of it, and that's what's gotten Dr. B in hot water right now. So Let's just say they're successful, they being the Texas Medical Boards. They are successful in stopping Dr. Brzezinski and his approach of combining targeted therapies, some in the context of off-label use, for advanced cancer patients. You're an advanced cancer patient, okay? You have failed conventional therapy. You meet Dr. Brzezinski because he's providing you hope because he's thinking outside the box. He's not just following the labels. Believe me, his life, our life here at the clinic would be so much easier if we just followed all the rules, followed all the labels, okay? So he's going outside of the box. He's going outside the grain because this way there's hope for that patient who's late stage, who everything has failed them, can survive. That is, again, what's gotten him in trouble. So he's now facing the medical board. He's taking them on in a case in January of next year for that very reason. If they should win, I want everyone to understand the impact this will make for all doctors. If you dare to consider thinking outside the box, which is what he's being under the light for, you will be punished. You will be punished, and we will get you. And now we have set the precedence in this. We have set the precedence that if you use combination therapy for late advanced stage cancer where everything else has failed, it doesn't matter. You still go with that, we're going to get you. So that's the big importance of this. So we would love to have everybody who's listening, who also finds this to be outrageous, to join us in an effort. We're doing a call for action. And if you sign up at our website, BrzezinskiClinic.com or CancerMed.com, send us your email. Submit your email. Once we have our concise call to action letter put together where you can state, where we can tell you what you need to do to contact the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, to contact select members high up in the Texas Medical Board and get
him. No, wait. Rick Perry? I hate Rick Perry.
Yeah, and what we will do is put everyone, you know, we got all these people. They all want to help. Well, we need to put this grassroots movement together, hundreds of thousands, if not even into the millions of letters bombarding these people saying, look, we're watching. We find this to be outrageous. You know it's outrageous, and we are aware of what's going on. We're not going to wait until years later someone puts this in a documentary again. We know what's happening, and we're going to stop you right here, right now. You want re-election powers? Well, listen to us right now because we are the ones putting the elections on, right? So we're putting together this call to action. If everyone can just please sign up at the BrzezinskiClinic.com website, submit your email, and once this thing is completed, our legal counsel is helping us put it together. A lot of key members are helping put this together. When we have it completed and precise, we're going to launch it. And that's how you can help. And also, we're also putting together a call to action for the FDA. Now, what does this mean? What we want is the FDA, based on such an overwhelming body of evidence with these brain tumors, we want them to grant Dr. Brzezinski what's called an accelerated review. We're not being overly eager here and saying give him an approval. No, just give him an accelerated review based on that significant body of evidence of all these patients he's treated and the wonderful success he's had. He deserves an accelerated review because the patients deserve to have access to this treatment.
And we'll be right back after the break. This is the EastwoodShow.com.
Save me, yeah. The time has come to make.
down! Boogie knee down! In the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, the deadly serious lighter side of genocide, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Especially those of you, including my mad fans, who just for some reason always turn up to the chat room and turn it into some massive I don't know, calcified complex of cancerous conversation, as is the radio show in itself. So I'm glad to see they're following me by example. Speaking of cancerous causations, my very special guests from the Brzezinski Clinic, welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Now, is there anybody who hasn't had a say yet in here who wants to talk about their little stories? Me, Deborah or Renee, perhaps.
Vinny, I would like to tell your audience to follow us on Facebook. They can access it on the web at www.facebook.com/StanislausBrzezinski, just like his name. And we put the doctor post every day on that, and we keep you up to date with things that are going on and all the things that we've discussed here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually quite glad that the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency decided to start Facebook. You know, it's become quite a useful tool.
Yes, social media.
Who would have thunk?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, who would have thunk? The CIA, that's who. But anyway, that's the kind of double-edged sword, because apparently the internet was created as part of this global tracking idea that you could spy on everybody and everything that they do. But as a result, it's backfired, because the internet has been used to inform people that it's being spied on and everything they do is being watched. Oh man, that's what I love about the internet. It's a double-edged sword, and I'm all in favor of using the weapons of the enemy against them. However, you shouldn't compromise your integrity. For example, you haven't accused the FDA of anything they're not guilty of or anything like that. You're kind of doing what I call mimetics, is when you give power to the positive thing that you're trying to make happen rather than paying all your attention to criticizing and trying to take out your enemies, which will just, even if you did win, you'd wind up manufacturing some other enemy anyway.
Right. We're just basing it on facts, okay? Facts and figures. We're trying our best to keep our personal emotions out of it, even though that's a little difficult and taxing at times. But we're just trying to base it on sheer logic and bodies of evidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that resonates with a lot of the mainstream media, or a lot of the public for that matter. But don't be disheartened, ladies and gentlemen. Bear in mind that all of the most effective things that have been done through history, movements and big changes and whatnot, were not done necessarily by mass movements, but were orchestrated by very small very small groups of dedicated individuals. All right, so when a lot of people talk about the ignorance or the apathy out there, and how people don't care, and they're drinking their aspartame, and they're getting their vaccines, and they're fighting over Maccas, they're watching McGilla Gorilla and Snagglepuss fighting over a Happy Meal, it's just beyond a joke at this point, right? General public has been dumbed down by design. The entire environment that we've been put into is now this total toxic contamination of sexual innuendo. In New Zealand, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when kids come home from school, there are music videos with frickin' strippers in them. Yeah, you know, hell. but that's shocking to me. You tell that to somebody and elsewhere in the world where the society's been degraded and become far more debauched than that. You know, they go, hey, that's nothing, man. We have hardcore pornography at 4 o'clock. In fact, the kids show where they show them how to make things out of glitter and glue and plastic and paper mache and stuff does it naked.
Vinny, I doubt there are these in your audience, but in case there are, let me state this. I have a lot of friends that say to me, when they find out where I work and what I'm passionate about, that, listen, if this guy really had something, wouldn't they embrace him? Wouldn't they support him? I mean, look, don't pull me in with all this conspiracy talk. Don't pull me in with all this they're keeping down the cure and hiding the truth stuff. Let's just be real. There's no way on God's green earth that something promising could be so squelched. How do you explain why is he getting the harassment he is? And let me share with you a story, okay? Once upon a time, this is true. Once upon a time, there was a gentleman who made a suggestion within his peer group in the medical establishment. He made a suggestion of a way that we can reduce death by doing a simple task. One simple task could reduce death enormously in his time. Now, his suggestion at first was laughed at. Here's a doctor who made this suggestion of a simple thing to be done that was laughed at. It was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He was, you know, outcasted. The laughter then turned into anger. His peer group then became hostile to the point where they abducted him. They actually tricked him into coming to a certain area, which turned out to be an insane asylum, clubbed him, bagged him, where he later died inside that exact insane asylum. Here's a doctor. All he did was make a simple suggestion that started out of him losing his entire dignity, being laughed at, being persecuted, and then it turned into hostility and him quite literally dying inside an insane asylum. Do you know what that suggestion was, Vinny?
Washing the hands.
Bingo. You've heard this story before.
No, I'd actually never heard that story before. I just guessed.
Well, you're a good guesser, Vinny. Wow. This is the truth. This is the truth. His name is Samuel Wisen.
Samuel Wise.
You can look him up on Wikipedia. That story's there for you. You can look him up on the internet.
Not to be mistaken for Samwise Gamgee from the Lord of the Rings pictures, New Zealand listeners. But continue.
No, quite literally, he saw that in the autopsy room when the doctors would perform autopsies, and they would go right upstairs into the delivery room and start giving, helping these mothers give birth, that the same type of mortality for a special type of fever was noticed when his colleague nipped himself in the finger with a scalpel, had the same symptoms as the women upstairs. Then he started to say, hey, you know what? I think they might be transferring germs back and forth. I think it's these germs that might be leading to these deaths. Hey, guys, I got an idea. Just wash your hands. Just wash your hands. Take 10 seconds and scrub it down. That idea to just wash your hands cost him his life and his entire reputation. Okay? And there, guess what? Guess how much money is in soap? Guess how much money is in soap?
Not a terribly large amount now because there's no real soap out there on the market. It's all cancer-causing detergents.
Let's fast forward the clock to 2011, where now you're dealing with a multi-billion dollar, on the line of trillion dollar industry. You have another guy who's saying, hey guys, wash your hands. Let's be logical. Let's be a little bit logical here. Wash your damn hands. And you can imagine the type of hostility. So I tell this to all my friends. Listen, guys, if you don't believe me, if you think that this is all my opinion and I'm just masking the truth and I'm some conspiracist, this, that, and the other, look up some of these stories. There's been a lot of Stanislaw Brzezinski's out there. unfortunately for them, they've had to lose their life, their dignity, their career paths. Dr. Brzezinski has instead put his heels down, stood his ground, and he's fighting to live another day, and he's trying to change the world as we know it.
Everybody's trying to change the world as they know it, but the problem is they don't know it at all. Have you noticed that so many people have these hopes and dreams? Obama! Don't betray us! Being from New Zealand, I can do a sheep impression rather well, I think. And, you know, when we talk about the medical industry, the first thing that really occurs to me is what happens when you're born. And basically, birth rates have been declining quite dramatically. Everybody's starting to get kind of sterile, more or less, from copious quantities of toxicity all over the environment. And some people say, oh, well, you know, we're not getting into quite that much cancer anymore or whatever. You know, we're way more advanced. We're living longer on average. No. If you go back to all of those old grave sites, you'll find that the only reason why you think that people live longer today is because they didn't live past five in some cases, well, in a lot more cases than there are today. And so if you average them out, yeah, it looks like everybody. But that's just a deception of statistics. People are living the same, are living virtually the same length of time anyway. And I tell people that there's a 1 in 2 cancer rate in New Zealand now, and that's published by the the Ministry of Health here, which is incidentally the third leading cause of death in this country. but the problem becomes is that they say, oh, well, back in the day, we just didn't have the detecting capacity. We couldn't find all the cancer that was around there. No, it was actually just incredibly rare. You travel the entire the length of the country to go see a child cancer patient because it was that freaking rare. Do you hold that to be true, man?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So now you've found yourself in an industry that has no shortage of customers, but the problem is because you're actually doing something good for those customers rather than milking them to their death for the rest of their lives, so they're a dried up corpse with a quality of life that is a 1 on a scale of 10. They need to shut you down, because if you don't get shut down, you'll provide an example, a positive example, to others. And basically, the damage has already been done to a large extent, don't you think? Everything that they've already done to the Brzezinski Clinic throughout this this whole rigmarole has already scared off, I'm sure, copious quantities of doctors who also don't want to risk all of those years at medical school, their licenses, and even their very freedom itself. How do you emotionally deal with that?
You're absolutely right. We've had a patient actually that came from a very large institute right here in Houston, and she said, you know, it's amazing. I couldn't pay the doctors there enough money to try to be the creative doctor that Dr. Brzezinski is for me here on a standard day-to-day basis. I couldn't bribe them enough to try to think outside the box for my disease. They simply said, go into clinical trials, find one that fits, or just go into hospice. Absolute no effort, no creativity. She explained to me that, Azad, listen, God forbid you never get cancer, but when you're on my end of the table, here's something you should know. All you really want when you're facing, when you're looking down the barrel of a gun, is the thought and the know-how that the person on the other end, your treating physician, is doing everything in their power to try to come up with something to save your life. That's all you want. It doesn't matter if you have 0.1% chance of survival. You'll come to grips with that, but you can never, ever appreciate that that person is just brushing you off. That person is just brushing you off. You want to know that they're treating you like a family member. They're thinking outside the box. They're not sheeping around like you're talking about. And she said, that's what the Brzezinski Clinic does. I know Dr. B would have a much easier life if he just followed the rules. But because he doesn't, he has success. And because he doesn't, he also has a lot of hell to deal with.
Yeah. I would presume you think it's worth it?
Well, no doubt about it. You see people getting better, children who's got rid of the malignancy long time ago. Now they have their own children. They live normal life. Absolutely. The world is getting better from this respect. And I think the other doctors will join us. They are watching what we do, and the good is going to win. So I am sure that we see a very nice victory in a couple of years to come.
I'm assuming that was...
That's right. We're coming to a commercial break here. It's V for Victory on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll be right back very soon. Join us in the chat room. And, the final segment coming up. It's unfortunate, but all good things must come to an end. Back in a moment. Please don't desert me.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone. Our needs are now different, and our aches. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone. The world we knew is gone.
Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, in this life, you've only got a certain amount of time to dance, love, sing, and jump for joy. So take advantage and do what the elite do and exploit every second of it. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of madness and chaos, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're proudly brought to you by American Freedom Radio, broadcasting all over the world, as it seems to be living in a global Fourth Reich at the moment, and even in this fabulous fluoridated capital here in Auckland, New Zealand, in the slave-chained South Pacific. It is a very somber note on this final segment here, because I have to say goodbye to the fabulous crew at the Brzezinski Clinic here. And, quite frankly, I'm going to, again, follow my own motto and exploit this last segment for all I possibly can. So if there's any of those, what is your advice to other medical professionals? I mean, let's just take the gloves off here. Those of which who are attacking you, those of which who don't support you or are following the FDA line, what do you really have to say to them?
I hope you got a good little stash of sleeping aids.
No, I think in all honesty, don't be sheep. You have to learn about what we're doing here. Don't follow the crowd. This is the future. You have to have people that make breakthroughs, and that's what SR Brzezinski is doing here. So call the clinic. Learn more about what we're doing.
Yeah,
we invite all medical professionals here.
That's right. We invite the naysayers. You know, don't. There's, for whatever reason, there's this lovely stigma that we're not sharing. Well, that's absolutely false. Anyone and everyone who doubts us, be it professional, be it lay, I invite you personally here, and we'll show you our best case series. We'll show you what you think we're trying to hide. So there you have it. And I always said, I don't think the number one killer in America and worldwide, the number one killer worldwide, is ignorance. It's not any disease. It's ignorance.
And we invite anyone that's in Houston to come on Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 5, and we talk about this and give them a chance to ask us questions. We talk about gene-targeted therapy, and we would love to invite anyone that's visiting here to please come, and I'll be happy to give them a tour of our center and just and to show them around, and we want to educate everyone.
Well, you see, there we have it. That really is the crux of the issue. I'm sorry, Deborah, did you want to say something?
No, they pretty much said it all. We do invite, if you have any questions at all or any comments or even...
Do you have a toll-free number that people could call from on the air?
Yes, we do. It's 1-800-714-8171. No, I'm sorry. 1-800-714-7181. And also, if there's any questions or comments or even words of encouragement, they're more than welcome to email us at info@BrzezinskiClinic.com.
Right. So if you go to the website, go to the website, plain and simple. Just go to the website, BrzezinskiClinic.com, CancerMed.com. And everything you want to know is there. I know that in New Zealand, I don't think that you can call the 800 number, so it'll have to be a direct line. So it's international code 1-713-335-5697. Again, international code for the USA is 1-713-335-5697. The website, BrzezinskiClinic.com, CancerMed.com. Anything you can do to sign up for that is appreciated. The minute we have our call to action in place, we can go forward. There's a link for donations on that website. If you just say, look, I just got $50 burning a hole in my pocket to help your cause, here you go. There's a link there for you, and everything else you can be found out through there.
Oh, right. That's pretty nice right there. And when exactly is the court day? When are you supposed to get back for your judgment? Because it's just, oh, man. I've been to court before on charges of cannabis possession, things like that. And it's not fun. More to the point, it's so agonizingly boring and stressful at the same time. It's like the worst kind of combination. Just going to court at all is punishment enough.
That's where I met my wife, though.
He's kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm single.
All right. Personal plug there.
Yeah, it is. It's agonizing, especially when you're listening to a bunch of lies and ridiculousness and, you know, kind of outlandish things. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you guys what, we're actually in the process of putting together a video that outlines detailed what they're putting Dr. Brzezinski in court for. And you can just listen or watch and hear how redundant some of this stuff is and how outrageous some of these claims are.
Give us a few teasers. I'm just chomping at the bit here to hear what they've been coming up with.
Well, you know, they got, on one hand, they're screaming about the fact that, you know, he has his own pharmacy. Dr. Brzezinski, we have, for convenience factor, we have our own pharmacy here in-house so the patients can pick up whatever drugs they need. They're always welcome to use any pharmacy they want. That's just for the convenience of the patient. So on one allegation is, well, Dr. Brzezinski didn't claim outright that he owns a pharmacy that's in his clinic, that he's the owner of this pharmacy. And on the other complaint, what is the other complaint?
Well, there's some other complaints of the nature that, for instance, we administered the treatment, which worked perfectly well. The patient was sent to hospice in with advanced cancer, and after 2 months, he was able to go back to work. And I have been accused of using the treatment which was not standard. For this patient, it was not standard treatment. She was sent to hospice to die because all standard treatments were exhausted. I used the treatment which saved this patient's life and which put her back to work. And I have been accused for using the treatment which is non-standard.
Because how very dare you?
Save somebody's life.
And the same treatment that now was published in a medical journal. So the medical community is saying this is fascinating, but then one district court is saying, well, this was maybe not appropriate. So the left hand doesn't know what the right's doing.
Yeah, it's complete miscommunication. It's just outlandish. So, again, sign up for the newsletter. We'll put this all together in a video for you, and it will just – you'll laugh. You'll actually get a good laugh out of it.
Oh, yeah. These people are seriously engaged in what I like to call legal masturbation. And as you rightly pointed out, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah. True. Yeah, they call that the stranger in some circles. but you know, I'm sorry to have kept you here for a good two hours, guys. I hope you've very much improved it, and I don't know. Hopefully, the audience will respond in lavish, lush detail and whatnot. Once again, the toll free number for the Brzezinski Clinic, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-800-714-7181. That's 1-800-714-7181. If you're calling from outside the United States, the international calling code is 1, and the number is 713-33-55-69-7. That's international code 1-713-335-56-97, or you can email them info@BrzezinskiClinic.com. And thank you very much, guys, for joining us all, and immensely enjoyable for your time, because you originally were only going to give us 40 minutes, and we wound up getting the whole 2 hours. I'm pretty sure that you just enjoyed yourself so much, you couldn't steer away.
You're addictive, Vinny. What can we say? You're addictive.
It was delightful.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, we do.
Yeah. People call me addictive all the time. Yeah. Well, okay. There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be able to check out the archives at the Vinny Eastwood Show. .com. Please support the broadcast if you can by subscribing. $5 a week is very much appreciated and goes into the running costs of the show, so we can continue to bring you all of those voices from around the world that you often will get suppressed out of the media. Those stories that will really teach you something about the world and make you question your very own reality, and in many cases will literally save your life, considering that ignorance is the world's biggest killer. And as far as I'm concerned, there's a heck of a lot of killers out there. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you very much to everybody from the Brzezinski Clinic. You guys rock on, and I hope you get the support you need. I've done my part, and it's up to everybody else from here on out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.